So, reading is from Matthew chapter 9, 18 to 33, and it's on page 974 in the Blue Bibles. So, while he was saying this, a synagogue ruler came and knelt before him and said, "My daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her and she will live." Jesus got up and went with him, and said, so did his disciples. Just then a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed." Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said, "your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed from that moment. When Jesus entered the synagogue's ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd, he said, "Go away. The girl is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After that, the crowd had been put outside. He went in and took the girl by the hand, and she got up. News of this spread through all the regions, that region. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he had gone indoors, that blind men came to him, and he asked them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." And their sight was restored. Jesus warned them sternly, "See that no one knows about this." But they went out and spread the news about him all over that region. While they were going out, a man who was demon-possessed and could not talk, but was brought to Jesus. And when the demon was driven out, the man who had been mute spoke. The crowd was amazed and said, "Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel." Thank you.
Am I on? No?
Can you hear me on my mic?
Because I'm not going to use this. Yay! Should I turn it off? Right. Hi. So I'm preaching for the first time, yay! Might I add. So be gentle with me. I will. Funny you should say that, Harvey. Anyways, before I start, I just want to say I am so excited about this. It's a topic I know very little about, but the reason I'm excited is because the series of events that has brought us to here is nothing but God. Conversations I've had, mentioning to Joy how I was praying a few weeks ago and really felt that God wants to heal us in New Hope. And when I thought of it, it was really that he wants to heal us physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. That is God's will. And that's what I want us to go into this with. And when I say God, I'm talking God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They want us healed. But before I start, I want us to go deeper into his presence. And so I'm going to sing a song that hopefully the words will be up for. And I just want you during this time to just do whatever it is that will allow you to meet with God and receive from him. So if that's standing and singing along, if that's sitting quietly, if it's praying, if it's crying, Do whatever it is that will allow you to meet with God. That is my only request. But before I do, sorry, let us just pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for this honor of just being able to come into your presence. I just come against any distractions or anything that will hinder us from just hearing from you. Holy Spirit, have your way in this place. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Spend my life to know, and I'm far from close to all you.
Amen. God wants you whole. Jesus said that I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. Some versions say abundantly. This series is called God's Faithfulness Expressed Through the Life and Ministry of Jesus. So that is the lens with which we're going to look at healing, through the person of Jesus Christ. My aim is to point out the person of Jesus to you, and through him, we will receive healing. I'm just going to look at a couple of definitions that I found on the internet. What is healing? And the noun is the process of making or becoming sound or healthy again. And the example is the gift of healing. The adjective, tending to heal, therapeutic, so a healing experience. And the synonyms that came up were alleviate, relieve, ease, help, soften, lessen, mitigate. There were quite a few. Another definition had similar things, but it also said to cause an undesirable condition to overcome, to be overcome, to mend. And another thing, to restore to original purity or integrity. So healed of sin. What I love about these definitions is they point to process. And a lot of the times, it is about process. God can and does heal instantly. We've seen it in the passage. And this is what I'm believing for today. But oftentimes it is a process, as Sheila so eloquently expressed. And this shouldn't be seen as any less of a healing just because you're like, I've not seen an instant result. The process of making or becoming sound or healthy again. It is a process. But let's first look at the examples in the passage, and then we'll branch out from that. So there were four moments of healing that were shown. First one was the daughter of a synagogue leader who had died, and the father came to him and said to him, you know, my daughter's died, but come and put your hand on her and she will live. The second was the woman who had been bleeding for 12 years. She thought to herself, if only I touch his cloak, I will be healed. And Jesus' response to that was, take heart, daughter, your faith has healed you. Then the third one is the two blind men who came and said, have mercy on us, Lord. And he asked them, do you believe that I am able to do this? And they said, yes, Lord, according to your faith, let it be done to you. And the fourth example is the demon-possessed man who was brought to Jesus. And Jesus drives the demon out. And the man who had been mute now spoke. So that's like a real summary. But what was interesting for me was the first and fourth example, people brought Jesus to them or to the situation. So we can stand in the gap for people and say, Lord, please come and heal. And the two in between, the woman with who had been bleeding for 12 years, and the two blind men saw an opportunity. If I could just touch his cloak or have mercy when I spoke to him. And he responded to that. They believed in Jesus' ability to heal. Now, faith, when it comes to healing, has been used sometimes to make people feel condemned, to feel like, oh, you're not healed because you did not believe enough, you did not pray hard enough, you did not fast, you did not, you did not, you did not. And I hate that, because that is not my experience of God. Remember, Jesus did not come to condemn the world, but to save it. So I come against any feelings of condemnation today. 2 Corinthians 1:3-5 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows." Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe he is capable? Romans 10:17 says, "Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ." I found that interesting when I've ever heard that verse. So, like, faith comes from hearing, hearing the word. And I've never heard, like, it's when I read it, I was like, oh, the word of Christ. Like, why is Jesus not at the center of that? The Amplified Version says, "So faith comes from hearing what is told, and what is heard comes by preaching, by the preaching of the message concerning Christ. He is at the center of it all." Ephesians 3:12, "In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence." So faith is not a complicated thing that is reserved for a select few. You don't have to be super spiritual to approach God. "In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence." So I ask again, do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe he is capable? I want to explore this a little more. And one of the reasons I'm so excited is because God's been working on this since January in my life, but a long time before that. Because we had a prayer and listening session here at New Hope at the beginning of the year. And I'm just going to share some things that I felt God was saying for 2018. And I'm going to, like, mix it up with what I need to say for today. And it's just so exciting. So this is what I felt God was saying. "Be still and know that I am God." I had a sense of inner stillness. So rest for the soul and the spirit, regardless of what is going on in the physical. "Be still and know that I am God" is from Psalms 46, and it talks about God being our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. "Therefore we will not fear. The Lord Almighty is with us. He is our fortress." It says, "Come and see the works of the Lord." And it goes on and on. Linked to stillness is a shift in perspective. Disappointment, life struggles, heartache, pain, so many other examples you can put in that can cloud our view of God. Our darkest moments can get in the way and we find ourselves questioning everything. Did he really say? Does he really love me? Those are the lies of the enemy, because the answer is yes. Stillness shifts perspective. So circumstances may still be the same, but how we view them changes. And the example that I got was, so feeling under attack suddenly becomes an awareness that God is greater. Like the song says, "You have no rival, you have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign." And in that stillness, you suddenly have that realization. Yes, you don't. You have no rival, you have no equal. Job 42 came to mind also. And the part that came to mind was, "I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. You asked, 'Who is this that obscures my counsel without knowledge?' Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you." This to me spoke of experience, encounter, first-hand revelation of who God is. I thought of the things that we may know of God intellectually, things that we've been taught maybe in Sunday school or that parents have told us, friends have told us. But I feel that he wants us to know him for ourselves, to experience these things we know of him so that we can then shift from my ears had heard to now my eyes have seen you. That is process. I then thought of how Jesus in Matthew 16:13-19 asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? And the disciples said, some thought he was John the Baptist, some say Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. And then Jesus asks, who do you say I am? And Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, what stood out for me in that passage is what Jesus says afterwards. This was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. Back to Revelation. And I thought of in Job 42. Again, this is a very personal element, a revelation of God himself. 1 Corinthians 2:13 says, this is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. But back to Matthew 16, what blew my mind is what Jesus said to him afterwards. And this is where the power comes with this revelation. Jesus told him, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. We are this church that Jesus was speaking about. And from the revelation of who Jesus is comes power. 1 Corinthians 2:4 and 5 says, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. There is power that comes from the revelation of who Jesus is. May he reveal himself to you today. And may this be the beginning of a deepening knowledge and understanding of him that sinks deep into the depths of your soul. May the Spirit of God testify to your spirit about who Jesus is, who he really is. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe he is capable? Jesus was filled with compassion when he saw the crowds, and he healed them of every sickness and disease. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Matthew 11:28-29, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When I was reflecting again on the Matthew 16 chapter, my study Bible pointed me to Matthew 18:18, where it said again, I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on heaven will be bound in heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. But what I love is the following statement. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. Revelation. Power, unity, or community. This brought to mind what Jesus said about us doing greater things than he did in John 14:12. But before that, in verse 6, he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do not know him. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And in verse 12, it says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am the Father. I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Revelation, power, unity or community, and then faith that leads to action. Matthew 10:1 says, he called his disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. We are his disciples, and we have been given the same authority. 2 Corinthians 4:13-14. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. With the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise you with Jesus and present you in his presence. Romans 8:11. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. So I speak life in your bodies right now. Whether you have a physical or mental or emotional ailment, he can heal you. So I ask again, do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe he is capable? We're going to spend some time just responding to him in a minute. But to summarize, I want to read out Ephesians 3:16-21. And this is what it says. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen.